Okay, so last week we spoke more about sort of broader issues in terms of the ethics of Heter Iska, focusing really on the modern discussions in Israel, though you'll find strains of those types of arguments in earlier post-Gim, both 50 years ago, 100 years ago, 200 years ago. Since Heter Iska has become prominent, you'll find discussions like that, whether it should only be used if it's for investments, not for investments, what counts as investments, only with poor or rich, etc., etc. Okay, I sent out in the email, the link, and sent out the PDF of the back and forth between Yaakov Ariel and Riel Ben-Nun, and I also sent out just a quote, to highlight how certain courts, at least, have seen this as a harama, a recent case in the U.S. where they rejected the claims that Heter Iska is not ribis and treated as interest and therefore subjected to the laws of interest. Though in an earlier court case, there was in one court case where they actually accepted the notion that Heter Iska made it not interest and therefore it wasn't subject to usury laws. So depends on the court case, but this was the most recent case. If you go online, you can see Rav Bleich has a I haven't listened to it yet, but I've downloaded it on the Heter Iska in American law and the history of it, because Rabbi Bleich is one of those people that knows everything about everything about everything. Fine. Today we're going from sort of the high art, the overarching meta values, to the some of the nitty gritty details of ribbis, all the way to the other extreme, to ribbis dvarim, verbal ribbis. Because the truth is that part of the reason that the fifth paragraph of Bava Metzia is so complicated, part of it is just because the cases are impossible to figure out, but part of it is that ribbis, as we've seen, the Torah really doesn't like ribbis. We add isser upon isser, even on a biblical level, to both the lender and the borrower, to the witnesses, to the judges maybe, to the intermediaries. And that sort of prompted Chazal to build layers and layers of rabbinic prohibitions on ribbis. So we'll see whether what we're talking about is rabbinic or not. And once you're finished with the perek, you start seeing prohibitions against interest everywhere, right? Everything that could possibly happen once you've lent somebody money. So everything seems to be usur. So what we're going to be examining today is verbal ribbis, which is basically that question. Is it true that the second you lend somebody money, we're so scared of ribbis and we built so many chumras top of ribbis that basically you can't do anything for your creditor at all? So let's start with source one. The Mishnah tells us in Daf Ayin Hamed Beis, the Mishnah that appears in Ayin Hamed Beis, the last Mishnah, the Perek with the ensuing Gemara, says as follows: Rabbi Shimon Omer, Yesh ribbis dvarim. Not only is there usury laws, but there is verbal interest. There's verbal usury. What is that? Lo yomar lo da, ki bo ish ploni makom ploni. A lender, a borrower, can't tell his creditor, no, that such and such came from there. Right now, what exactly that means, it's a bit ambiguous. Does it mean that the creditor can't ask the borrower to let him know that somebody came in, that the borrower can't go out of his way to provide information to the creditor, or actually vice versa, some understand it that it means the creditor can't tell the borrower, by the way, such and such came with the expectation that the borrower will now host the creditor, the creditor's friend or whatever who came in. But the Gemara introduces this category called ribbis dvarim. The Gemara then takes that mission even farther and says, Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer, minayin lenosha b'chaveiro mona. How do you know that when you owe somebody money, ve'eino ragel lahakdim lo shalom, and you don't normally greet him, sha'asr lahakdim lo shalom, you're not allowed to greet your creditor, tamad lomar neshech kol davar asher yishach, because it says neshech, or usury, anything which you would give, any interest you would give, what's anything, and what's that davar? So the Gemara plays on that word davar, a few dibur asr, even talking to the guy in a way you wouldn't before is prohibited. So by the time you walk out of the Gemara, If you borrowed money from somebody and you didn't normally say good morning to him, right, at least at first glance, that's usur. Now, is it also midrabanan or also midaraisa? So I would have told you it's probably midrabanan, but that's not obvious either. You look at number two in the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, Rabbi Kiva Omer, kasha ribis, af hatova ribis. Ribis is so difficult because even hatova, meaning, you know, greeting, being nice, whatever, is interest. Haresha Omer, likach lo yarek min ashok, afal bi shenasan lamoza, very ribis, meaning buying him vegetables, even if he's paying for it, is ribis, right? Doing him a favor is ribis. Rabbi Shimon Omer, kasha ribis, af she'elos shalom ribis. And Rabbi Shimon says, even greeting is ribis. Lo shalom, lo shalom yamav. If you never greeted him in the past, val shalava menu hikam lo shalom, I raise the ribis. Now this sounds like it's describing ribis d'oraisa, right? Because he's saying how chamor is ribis, but it's not totally clear. But if you look at the rivash, you look at the sefer atrumos, some of the rishonim really think it's d'oraisa. You look at number three, the rivash says if nidon ze nami avo bishem mocher adam kovu bepachos k'shein shem alval mechir chov levad. Avol k'shiyesham, right, he brackets out a different case. He says, Avol k'shiyesham alva gemura, when you have a real loan, va'ribiz u'b'mechiriz chovzeh, va'day ribiz gemurahi. It is definitely absolute biblical ribiz. Ve'echol, how could it not be, without getting to his case? Va'lo afil lahatim lo shalom im eino ragil asur. Midichsim neshech kol davar asher yishach, afil davar asur. And so he makes it sound like when the pasuk is quoted in the Gemara, in the first verse, that's an actual pasuk, right? That's like an actual drasha, that is biblical. On the other hand, the Sefer HaTrumo says, no, it's derabanan for the chen asru chachamim shalo yomar amal velelove da imba ish ploni makom ploni. The chachmas adam as well thinks that while the rivash might think it's daraisa, most people think it's only rabbinic. And number five, vafilu ribiz dvarim asur. In the next line, he says, "Vasmachu akra." Right? It's only an asmachta. It's only a hint from the pasuk, but it's really rabbinic. But there were others who thought it was daraisa, not just rivash. Tosfos in number six implies that it's daraisa. In the middle of a totally different sugya, in the middle of the context of mashkon, where the Gemara says that when you give back the collateral, like you're supposed to the poor person, to allow him to use it at night, we call it tzedaka. So Tosfos says, "Vim tomer ikat tzedaka mashiach shel shkova lav, v'yishlomer v'didayik min dechsev v'shachav v'sim lasover acheka v'ilo v'ikonale imken k'shavarcho ani havelei ribiz dvarim." Right, without, again, getting into the details of the case, Tosfos says, how do we derive this drasha? Because if it weren't leaving out the background, it would have been ribiz dvarim, but he's talking about, again, a biblical law, right? And the Kovetz Yerim notes this in 7. It says, mivor midivrem de ribiz dvarim asur midaraisa. The ribiz dvarim, right, saying thank you, whatever the case may be, to your creditor when you, or we'll come back to thank you, greeting him when you wouldn't have greeted him before, is asur even midaraisa. Now, the reason most the Achronim, and most of the Rishonim, honestly, don't accept that it's Daraisa because of what the Kovetz Yerim then continues with, and he says, V'kashe, dafilu neima da bracha shava pruta lamalve, even if saying good morning or giving a bracha to somebody, which is the case in number 6, is worth a shava pruta to the malve, so there's a normal rule. There's two aspects to ribis. There's neshech, which is a loss to the lender, to the borrower, and there's tarbid, which is a gain to the creditor. And the Gemara says that biblically you can never have a case with neshech without tarbid. If it's one without the other, so then it's only rabbinic. So the Kovetz Yerim says, how could it be that ribis dvarim, right, saying good morning to someone that you didn't say good morning to before is biblical ribis? It can't be. Maybe it's tarbid. I mean, maybe the creditor now walks away with more. Now he has people who were greeting him in the morning. But it's not neshech. Sheina lova chaser klum. The lova isn't losing anything out. The Yoter Kasha, and he says, furthermore, the Lohavia Ribis Ktsutsa, Shlo Katsas Bishas Halva Menashe Devarcheni. Furthermore, the rule is that in order for something to be biblical Ribis, it needs to be what's called Ribis Ktsutsa, which means that when you initiate the deal, you specify how much money you're going to pay as interest. If you don't specify at the beginning, it's not called Ribis Ktsutsa. The Kovetz Shurim says, what are the chances that Ribbis Dvarim was Ribbis Ksutza? Meaning, what did you do, right? You lent somebody money, and you said, look, I don't want any interest, but you have to greet me in the morning. That's what I need. I need that big smile in the morning. I'm good, right? You can take the loan plus a good morning with a big smile, right? That usually doesn't happen. So for those two reasons, one is that verbal ribbis, right, saying good morning is usually not stipulated in the original deal, and two, it doesn't cause monetary loss to the borrower, so it's probably not biblical, but even if it's not biblical, it's explicit that it is rabbinically forbidden. Now this Gemara, this Mishnah, prompts a huge discussion in Poskim that just gets lengthier and lengthier as you get to the modern stock, and you look at all the Ribbis books that are out there. They're all excellent, because anyone who's writing a book on Ribbis knows what he's doing. Your average person doesn't choose to write a book on Ribbis. They're all very good, but they're all hefty books, and they have all these chumras. And you see, you can't say good morning, which is explicit in the Gemara. You can't say thank you, which we'll see. Is that true? Right? You can't say thank you for a loan, right? Someone lends you $1 million. You can't even say thank you because he's getting $1 million plus a thank you. Is that really true? Is that Ribbis Dvarim? We'll see that prominent poskim think it is. And, right, what happens not so uncommonly is you lend somebody money to write a sefer, and they want to thank you, not just verbally, they want to thank you in the book. Right, they want to give you a page in the middle. Thank you to such and such for making this book possible. So obviously, if it's a gift, if it's tzedakah, you can say that it's not a loan. But sometimes they provide you with a loan, which is very generous. And even if you have to pay it back, they're giving you an interest-free loan. You want to show your gratitude. Is that ribbis? Right. All these things start becoming suffig ribbis. Right. And that's what we're going to try to figure out right now, right? So my goal is to try to set out some parameters for this, because otherwise, I mentioned last week, right? You know, we get the shaila you get. Now this is not a Ribbis Dvarim question, right? But right, the shaila that I mentioned last week that I saw in one of these Dvarim, they claim that if you have two kids in shul and your younger kid is crying and your older kid has a lollipop, and you say to your older kid, look, give the lollipop to your younger brother, and if you do, I'll give you two lollipops later, you violated Ribbis Doraita, Ribbis Ksutza, right? You know, like, what post can start, right? But you see, the Gemara is really sensitive to these things. So, like, what, you know, things you would never even imagine were Ribbis, right? You have actual post-skim saying, yeah, the Ribbis Darabonon, the Ribbis Doraita. So I want to try to set up some parameters, but as you said, it can't be. Right, there's got to be some limit. The question is, what is that limit? What exactly is the standard? So, the way it really emerges is as follows. Skip to 10. The poskim, in order to figure this out, have two gemaras that are relevant. One is the gemara we just saw, which is Ribbis Dvarim. Right, under some circumstances, which we haven't yet explained, you aren't allowed to say good morning to your creditor who you didn't say good morning to before. Number 10. The Mishnah says as follows: Hamal ves chaveru lo yader bechatzero chinam, vel yiskar memenu bepachos mneishu ribbis. If you lend your friend money, so you are not allowed to live in his field for free, nor can you rent it for a lower price than the going rate. Right, the creditor can't live in the renter's property for free or for a lower rental rate. Now the Gemara then has two possibilities of what we're talking about. One is what's called halveini, and one is hilvehu. Now, what's the difference? And halveini means, what? Lend me, right? So one possibility in the Gemara is only usur if you actually articulate that, right? I'm lending you money, I'm lending you $1 million. In return, I get $1 million plus a year free rent. So the Gemara says, if you do that, that's ribbis, probably d'oraisa, or that's ribbis ksutza. There's a machlok because we've shown him whether d'oraisa only if it's a property that's normally rented out, or even if it's a property that's not rented out because you articulated it. But that we understand. That's really problematic. That's called halveini. But then the Gemara says, and this is how we paskin, that not only is halveini usur, but hilvahu is usur. Meaning, even if you lent somebody property, Right? Even if you lend somebody, sorry, you lend somebody money, and then he allows you to live in the land, he doesn't stop you, even though it wasn't articulated, that's usur. So that's the background to this. For the purpose of time, I'll leave, we won't read that inside, but if you look, six lines down, like where like the paragraph splits, like three lines up from that. Rav Yosef Bar Chama talking avde the intre the masik bu zuze va avid bu avidda. Rav Yosef Bar Chama, when he would lend people money, he would grab their slaves and he would have the slaves work for him. So Amar le Rav Abray. So his son said to him, "How is that permitted? Right, you just lent the guy money and now you're grabbing a slave. That looks like ribis, right? You're getting back the money plus a free worker for a day, or a week, or whatever. My time, my avid marachi. How could you do it?" So Amar le, he said, "So what? Ana Rav Nachman svirali. I hold like Rav Nachman. Amar Rav Nachman." Abda nuhum karse lo shavi, that slaves aren't even worth the food you feed them. And therefore, I'm not taking anything from the guy. I'm doing him a favor because I'm giving the slave lunch. Amar le, Amar Damar Rav Nachman. He said, Rav Nachman didn't say that as a general rule. That could go in Dari Avde, that was his slave. The market Bekube. Because he used to spend his whole days dancing in the, right, dancing in the taverns. Avde Achrinim Yamar, some, right, if the institution of slavery wasn't, right, financially advantageous, it wouldn't have existed, right? That's sort of, right, a given. So he said slaves, clearly he was worth money. Amar le, he says, you're right. But Anakya derav Daniel barav Katina amarav svirali the Amar atokiv avdus chaver v'asam umlacha pater denichal ezel nistere avde. He said there's another statement. That if you take somebody's slave when he's not doing any work, and you have him work, you're doing the master a favor, because if, you know, let's say the master doesn't have any work for him to do for a few days. So we all know, right, that the first week of school, or the first day you get back from vacation, you're not that productive, because it takes a while to get back in the swing of things. So people would rather that their slaves work, even when they have no work for them, so they don't get out of the swing of things. So I'm doing the master a favor. So his son said to him, that doesn't work. Amar le, hani mili heichad l'masik bezuzeh. That only works if you don't lend money. But mar, came into masik bezuzeh, if you lend somebody money, mechzik rebis, even if it's technically true that the master would want you to work his slave, it doesn't matter, it just looks wrong. Right? That's called mechzik rebis. And what's his proof? His proof is what we just saw. His proof is hilvehu. Right, is that even if you don't care if the guy lives in your property, you're not allowed to let him live in the property because it looks like ribbis. So here we've introduced another rule called mechzik ribbis, that even something that you would normally do, right, you would normally let somebody take your slave who wasn't working and work with him, you can't do in a case when it looks like ribbis because you have a creditor-borrower relationship. So Tosfos here, and the Rishonim here, try to figure out, okay, well, what exactly is the standards? So Tosfos asks, V'hashta kasha. The problem I have is as follows. The adam shemal v'chavero, let's say you lend somebody money, v'chiyotzer lasos lo shum tova sheba'olam. Is it really true that from now on, until we end this relationship of creditor and borrower, that I can never do any favors for the creditor, right, for the lender, ever? Right, that's what it sounds like, right? Even things I would have done before, right? The Gemara on Ayin Hay told us you can't greet the guy in the morning if you didn't normally greet him. The Gemara on Samach Dalid says that even if I would normally let him use my slave, I can't let him use my slave while I owe him money because it looks wrong. So Tosa said if we forbid minimal things that I wouldn't have done, and we forbid slightly bigger things that I would have done anyways, so what exactly can I do? Right? So I can never, right? I lend somebody money and now I have to make sure I just don't see him until the end of the loan because I might smile at him, I might say good morning, I might, who knows what terrible crimes I might commit that I might, right, give him ribbis. So what exactly, where do we limit it? So if you look at the first bullet, so one possibility he says is, v'yesh lomar didafka mila defarezza, the afsha tuva asar. Said it's only forbidden if it's one of two things. It's public, or I didn't do it before. Right, those are the two standards. We said, why is it usher to greet the person who I didn't greet before? Because I'm giving him something new. On the other hand, I can't do anything super public. So, even if we're really good friends, and I let you live in my timeshare, right? We swap our timeshares all the time, right? To give an easy example, right? We swap timeshares all the time, and I don't make you pay. But in the meantime, everybody knows that you lent me money, and then they see you living in the timeshare, right? They'll just assume that this is a kickback from the, right? This is just a bonus from the ribbis. It's too public. But if it's A, private, and B, I would have done it before, like lending you, right, he says, right, movables, right, like a book, right, so it's quiet, and you're not getting anything new, then it's permitted. And that's Tosis's, right, two standards. You can, what we learn from Ribbis Dvarim is you can't give your creditor anything, even the most nominal thing, like a good morning, that you wouldn't have done before. And two, is you can't do anything even that you would have done before if it is so public that it looks wrong. If it's not so public, and you would have done it before, so then it's permitted. Yeah?
In the case of public, do people have to know that you've been lent money as well?
So that's the point, which I didn't actually put here, because, you know, I'm already way over, or did I put it? I may have put it here somewhere. But what the Rav Nathan Gestetner points out in the Horaz Nasan is, wait a second, there's two ways that something could not be public. One is that the quote-unquote potential interest is not public. The other way is that nobody knows about the loan. Right? So he says in the olden times, people knew about the loans. Right? That was just, right, that was clearly the, I mean, it's clearly the
understanding.
Right, I mean, that Chazal are clearly assuming that any loan, people knew about a loan. Right, especially if it was taken out Bishtar or with a document, everybody knew. Now the reality is not that way. So Rav Gestetner says, well, in our halacha, therefore, if we paskin like Tosfos, so then what should the halacha be? So if it's something you wouldn't have done before, so then it's forbidden. If it's something you would have done for him before, so then it's mutter for one of two reasons. Either it's private, or nobody knows about the loan. Because either way, right, the connection between the loan and the interest is private. What's his case? He was asked to Shaila, let's say, his case was, can I lend somebody my car? Right? Can I lend my creditor my car? So he says, on the one hand, it's very public, right? It's very public, right? If you know, I drive, you know, a Sienna, and tomorrow, you know, this is always hard, because it doesn't actually make sense, but fine. Tomorrow, there's a Porsche in my driveway, right? Everyone will ask how I got it. Now, the chances that I lent money to the person who lent me the Porsche, right, are very low. That's the problem with this case every time, but fine. If this happened, right, Nanich, it happened. I don't know why it would happen, but it happened, right? So, the car is very public. But, he says, okay, if people know about the loan, then it's usher. If they don't know about the loan, then it'd be mutter, assuming he would have given it to me anyways before. So that's Tosfos. Answer one. Answer two, he says, V'od yesh lomer, didafka ladur shlomi das chaveiro asur, b'chol inan, nefil b'chot zol time agra, v'gav lov el megar, v'kem shol b'shos, osa nir dal malva, so mech shvish v'ilo yizbelu habaylim. Avol midait lo asur, ele b'davar shlo yos, osa lo v'la malva v'lo hava, dum yodak dama shalom. Answer two is as follows. No, it's not about public or private. It's about whether you do something without asking. Right, what does that mean? He says like this. Let's say you would always let me live in the timeshare, right? But normally I at least have to ask. I'm telling you, you know, I'm going to Florida, right? I know you have a timeshare. I'm just checking in, making sure you're not there, right? And you'd say, fine, no problem. You know the code. You know the door. The code. You know everything. Go in. Now I lent you money, so I don't ask, right? And now I know you're going to say yes. But I don't ask. So Tosfos says, that's us, or why? Because there's really only one principle, which is, you can never do anything that you wouldn't have done before. So, even if you would have lent me the house before, you would have lent me the timeshare before, normally I would ask. If now I don't ask, it's because I feel like I deserve it. Like, I assume you're not going to say anything because I lent you money. So then even if I would have done it before, or the fact that I didn't ask shows that I'm relying on the loan to, you know, to take advantage, even if it's something you would have given me. But Tosafot says the basic rule is the only thing that matters is not public-private, is would I have done it before? If I would have done it before, it's permitted. If I wouldn't have done it before, it's aser. But what we learn from this and from Ribbis Dvarim is that even very nominal things, right, like saying good morning when I wouldn't have said good morning, or asking, before I would have asked permission, and you would have said yes for sure, and now I don't even ask permission, right, that little shift from not asking permission, right, from asking permission, not asking permission, that's already, right, Mechti Karibis, or Ribbis Dvarim, right, that's that nominal jump. But there's really only one principle, which is anytime I get something that I wouldn't have gotten, so then it's usur. Now, these formulations come up in many different forms in 13, 14, 15, 16, and, you know, we could go through them at length and analyze the details, and that's very important when you try to get to halachic ones because they mix and match these factors. But those are the two factors that the poskim really debate, which, again, which is it that the only question you have to ask by all these rabbinic ribbis is, would I have done it before? Or do I also have to be concerned for perception, even if I'm not getting any advantage, right? But I have to be worried about perception. The Rush brings in the possibility that might be different if something's actually worth money. So, for example, right, borrowing a car is worth money, but it doesn't cause a loss to the, or not a significant loss, to the creditor. But Rav Gestetner points out that between the Rush and the Goz Hashri, I won't get into the exact details, they have another machlokas. What happens if it's something I would have done before, but it's not just I'm giving an advantage to the creditor, but I'm actually taking a loss? So his shayla is, if I lend the car, because I would always lend the car, that's fine. But what about the gas tank? Right? So Rav Gestetner said that's more complicated, because even if normally I don't care how much gas you use, right, now there's an actual monitoring number, right? I gave you a full tank of gas, and I don't care that you give me back half a tank of gas, right? I've just given you however much money that is, $30, $40, right, worth of gas. Now, that's a machlokas hagos ashri and rush, whether, even if I would have done it for you before, it might be that once we're in a creditor relationship, I can't actually give you, I can't let you take actual monetary advantage of me to a loss. I can give you a gain, right? I can let you live in my, you know, in my apartment, in my timeshare, but I can't actually let you use up my money, because then I'm, you know, de facto giving you an extra $30, right? That might be a problem. That's a machlokas rush hagos ashri. A very common shaila that comes up, it's quoted here in 17 and 18, but I'll say it outside, is the Yamshel Shlomo said, okay, there's a very simple case, which is very public. It's not monetary, but it's very public. Right? Tosafot said that there's two things that could be aser, right? Anything I wouldn't have done before, or anything super public, right? So he said, what's super public? Let's say you're the gabbai, and you give your creditor an aliyah, right? So Yamshel Shlomo says it's aser. And the Shach Paskins that way. Now, as the poskim qualify, it depends, right? What's the case, right? Now you tell me, what are the standards? So according to the first day in Tosafot, so if I would have given it to him before, well, actually, second day in Tosafot, second position in Tosafot, the only question you have to ask in all these rabbinic ribbis is, would I have done it before? So if I would have done it before, I'm allowed to give him an aliyah, even though it's public. But according to the first position in Tosafot, even things I would have done before, if they're public, I can't do them. So Tosafot says, so then, would say it's usher, and that's what the Yamshel Shlomo says, I can't give him an aliyah. Qualify it, when could I give him an aliyah? One of two cases. Either, right, either he's a chiyuv, because then everybody knows I'm not giving it because he's my creditor, or nobody knows he lent me money. Right? The same point. Right? But those same principles come up over and over. So that's sort of the basic background to it. Yeah.
If I am lending someone my car,
you're lending the car. Okay, so here's the
gas. If someone is driving a car
Oh, right. So I should clarify this. Okay, because this is the problem between Hebrew and English, and this is why I have to be very careful here. Right? Lend in English means both lend money or lend an object. In Hebrew, it doesn't. Right? There's a difference between she'ila and halva. So all these cases of cars, we don't mean lending the car. Right? We mean borrowing the car. We mean that you borrowed money, and now I let you borrow my car in addition. If I just lend you my car, that's not called a halva, that's called a she'ila. You're just lending it. There's no ribbis, because I'm allowed to take money, because I can lend you my car and say you owe me no money. I can lend you my car and say you owe me money. That's called a rental, right? I can lend you money and say you have to fill up the tank. That's mutter, because then I'm saying the price of borrowing my car is filling up the tank. That's all mutter. It's only when I have a separate loan that I can't then lend my car. Then I might not be able to lend you my car. But just lending the car is totally fine. Right, and I can say whatever I want. I can make you fill up the gas. I can not make you fill up the gas, as long as the only thing in the at hand is the car itself. Okay, so to summarize what we've seen, and then come to what I think is why nobody really understands this sugya, or I don't know, nobody. Why there's so much misunderstanding about this sugya? Shouldn't say nobody, but there's so much misunderstanding about this sugya. Is we have this gemara. We have two gemaras, right? One which says under certain circumstances you can't even greet your creditor. And a second one which says that I can't give my creditor like big time advantages, possibly even if I would have done it before. Right? What everyone agrees is Osir, and the conclusion of this Gemara is that anything I wouldn't have done for my creditor before I can't do if it's a kickback for the loan. Right? That's for sure Osir. Then Tosfos and the other Rishonim debate what happens if it's something I would have done before, but it's very public, and people don't know I would have done it before. So then, some positions say it's not a problem at all. As long as I would have done it, it's an objective question. Did he get more or not? Tosfos says maybe it's also prohibited to do something that's really public, because then it looks wrong, and that's how we seem to paskin, hence the Aliyah case. But we can solve that either by it being a case where it's clear, even if it's public, that I'm not doing it because he lent me money, like he's a chiyuv. Right, so I give an aliyah to the chiyuv. Everybody knows that my job is gabai, or nobody knows about the loan, in which case the only question you have to ask is, again, would I have done it before? But what everybody seems to agree on is that if I wouldn't have done this for you before, so then I can't give you even the slightest little thing. And where do they get it from? Again, they get it from the Gemara, that even if I didn't say makdim lo shalom, I didn't say good morning to you, I can't say good morning to you. And that one line is what, right, starts all these discussions. Because once you say that saying good morning is usur, right, so isn't everything ribbis, right? Anything I wouldn't have done for you, isn't that ribbis? And then you start getting poskim, we'll see in just a moment, that say, well, you can't say thank you either, because I had no reason to say thank you to you before, now I have a reason to say thank you. The problem is, what are you talking about, right? Something intuitively tells us that no, thank you. You're not saying, it's not, no one views it. I borrowed $1 million and I gave back $1 million plus a thank you, right? No one thinks that. It's polite. The guy gave into $1 million, right? That's just, right? That's just what he did, right? That's a really nice thing. You said thank you. Also, good morning, right? One way of looking at it is, oh yeah, he lent me $1 million. Now I go and I say good morning. The other way is saying, well, I didn't know who he was before, right? I say good morning to everybody that I know, and now I know him, right? We've been going back and forth in this mortgage for, 6 months. I know him better than I'd like to know him, right? But now, so I say good morning. Is it really usur? Because based on everything we've seen, it seems the one thing no one's willing to negotiate on is if I wouldn't have done it before, it's usur. But you think about it, okay, I wouldn't have said thank you to him before. I wouldn't have said good morning because I didn't know him. Does that mean it's really usur? There's something intuitively wrong. And this is, at least for me, what bothered me about this sugya. Every time I heard it, I remember, I got this. In Smicha, we have a one of the bechina we take in YU is called Contemporary Halacha, which is like a survey course of like a million halachic issues you have to do. And one of the questions on the test was, is it forbidden to say thank you when you borrow money? The answer was supposed to be to Machlokas Achronim. And I wrote on it, it is mutter, brackets, I know that this is a machlokes, but I refuse to accept that those positions are right, and I will not write them, and I will take the points off. So I lost the points. That's fine. I don't care, right? Because I just couldn't believe it. So now that I'm sitting down and learning Ribbis, it took me a while, but I will now prove why I think that nobody ever really, well, I mean, people did say this, but why it's not a correct understanding of the Gemara at all. And we'll see that Rosh Hashanah Zalman, at least in this, until he saw the Shulchan Aruch Rav, agreed with this. But I want to set up the background to it. Look at 19. Rabbeinu Yonasan says as follows. V'eino rogel ha'aktim lo shalom. You didn't used to greet people. Mirov gadlo v'raso. You didn't greet him from his greatness. And now that he lent money, he honors him. Usur, that's forbidden. Because he's taking money from him. Because someone would pay money to be greeted by his lender. Now, you look at Rabbeinu Yonasan, and something seems off, right? Meaning, if this Gemara is as everyone says it, that once you lend money to someone, anything you wouldn't have done, no matter how little, you can't do, right? So we think, well, yeah, saying Makdim Lo Shalom, saying good morning, right? That's about the smallest thing I could possibly do for him, right? It's the basic courtesy. And I can't even do that. I can't give him that basic courtesy. But Rabbeinu Yonasan tells you that, well, that's not what's going on. Makdim lo shalom, those words were something that had a monetary value to them. People would pay money to get a good morning. Now, either you think that this lender has the best smile in the world, and people would pay to have him say good morning to them every morning, or maybe we don't understand what the words makdim lo shalom mean. So here I did a bit of research. This took me a very long time. But here's what this is my theory, and it will accord with Rosh Hashanah Zalman, though Rosh Hashanah Zalman will obviously not quote the source I'm about to quote for you. Skip for a moment to the last page. Okay? Look at number 31. Okay, skip all the way. 31. I'll just give it away now. All right? If you look through Roman society, meaning the contemporary society of the Mishnah, you find the following. Right? A practice of patronage. What was patronage? So, Roman society also involved a system of patronage. Members of the upper class, the patroni, offered protection to freedmen or plebeians who became their clients. Patronage might consist of money, food, or legal help. Traditionally, any freed slaves became the clients of their former owner. In return, patroni received respect and political favors. During the empire, clients were required to offer daily greetings to their patroni, and the number of these greeters helped determine social status. Right? In Roman society, there was something called makdim lo shalom, which wasn't saying good morning. It was a formal symbol that you were now subservient to somebody else. So I said, well, maybe what the Mishnah means isn't you can't say good morning because that's what Rosh Hashanah Zalman will call derech hanimut, that's polite. What the Gemara was saying is you can't give him something of monetary value, namely makdim lo shalom. Now, before you think I'm a heretic, right, I'll prove to you that the Gemara believed this as well. Right, this isn't just me, right? The Gemara believed this as well. So you skip, now go back to 20, right? There's another place where there are two other places in the Torah, in the Gemara, at least, where we have this notion of makdim lo shalom, and in neither place does it mean to say good morning. Look at 20. Beis Yosef summarized. Umasha katuv lo yitain shalom l'rabo v'lo yachzir lo shalom. There's a halacha. You aren't allowed to yitain shalom l'rabo, and he can't give you shalom. Again, second week in a row, the lights go off. I don't understand this. Okay, fine. So the Gemara says you can't notain shalom to your Rebbe, and he can't give you back shalom the way everybody else does. So he says, what does that mean? So beper tefilas hashachar, and the Gemara in Bracha says, Tanya, Relazar Omer, ha-mispalo acharei rabo, v'anotim shalom l'rabo, v'amachzir shalom l'rabo, gorem l'shchina shetistalek mi-Israel. If you stand behind your Rebbe during davering, or you give him shalom, or you return shalom, you cause the shchina to leave Yisrael. Upeirish Rashi. What does Rashi say? Shalom Rirabo. What does it mean to give shalom? It doesn't mean to greet him. You can greet him. It means Kishar Kol Adam. Shalom Alecha. Velo Amar Shalom Alecha Rebbe. It means you said shalom, right? Shalom Alecha, but not Shalom Alecha Rebbe. V'chein hem divrei HaRambam. The Rambam says the same thing. Mifarz Lahashir Lo Shalom Sarach Lomar Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umori. And he goes on to prove this. Now, what do you see from the Gemara? What does the phrase Yitain Shalom mean? It doesn't just mean greet. What was clear in the time of Chazal, which we know from the Roman society also, that the way you greeted someone, right, reflected their status, right? So when it says Makdim Lo Shalom, it probably doesn't mean you said good morning to him, because greetings were formalized things that reflected status. Or look in 21. Amar Rav, kol anotein shalom kodem sheyitbalel kiilu aso bama. If you give shalom to your friend before davening, it's like you built a mizbeach outside of the mishkan, outside of the mikdash. Shneimar chadlu lochem en adam asher neshama ba'avokim avan achshavu al tigri bameh lebama. Ushmol omar bameh chashavto lazev elaloha. And Shmuel says, what's the problem? Because why are you showing this guy significance and not God? So massive Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says, really? Biprakim, even during Kriya Shema itself, Shoel Mibnei HaKavod U'Meshiv, you're allowed to greet somebody, right? If someone comes in, you're allowed to greet them under certain circumstances. That's before Shmona Esrei. So how can you say you aren't allowed to say good morning? You're allowed to do it in the middle of Shema itself. So what does the Gemara say? No, Tir Gemara V'Abba V'Mashkim Lipitcho. It's where you go to his door to greet him. What does that mean, you go to the door to greet him? That's exactly what happened in Roman society. That's called, right, patronage. You go to your patron and show your subservience. What's the Gemara saying? And this is how the post can bring it down, right? You can't go out of your way to say good morning. Why? Because that shows kavod to someone besides for God. If you run into somebody and say good morning, that's derech hanimus, that's being polite. If you are mashkim lepitcho, you go to his door. Now you see what's going on in Roman society. Suddenly it makes a lot of sense. The Gemara says, yeah, before you daven to God, I mean, before you show that God is your patron, don't go and be mashdim shalom to your patron, because you're showing that your real patron is, you know, your patron, the patroni, and not God. Right? The society Chazal lived in was highly formalized, where how you greeted people was a reflection of status. So now you come back to Rabbeinu Yonasan. Why is Rabbeinu Yonasan saying that it's asur to be makdim lo shalom? Because people would pay money for it? Of course they would. Because if someone is not, it's not saying good morning. If someone now gives you the greeting of a patron, and your status as a patron depends on how many people show you that relationship, that's worth real money. That's worth status. So my contention is that we misunderstand the sugya because we don't understand the context. But if you look at the Gemara, right, this is not, you don't need Roman society to figure this out. You just need to read Chazal carefully, but it's much clearer when you see what's going on in the parallel society, is that the way you greeted people was a reflection of status. And I tend to think that that's what Makdim Lo Shalom meant. Right, that you can't, because what's the whole upshot of this whole thing? You can't give him something in addition to money that you wouldn't have given him before. Right? So, and even look at the number 24, even the Taz, and I'm sure the Taz didn't understand Roman culture, right? He didn't, I mean, how would he have known, right? He didn't have access to it. But look how he understands the other halacha, right? The Gemara had said two things are ribis dvarim. One is, and 23, I just gave you Shulchan Aruch, right? One is, if you didn't greet him before, you can't greet him. The other one is, you can't let him tell you, so such and such, you know, is here, right? You can't let him provide you with information. And the Taz says, why? Perish, shebazeh shemitzaveh olav, v'hu nichna lo hevei ribis dvarim. What's the problem if he tells you, by the way, such and such came? It's not a problem that he gave you information. It's a problem that he asked you, stay on the lookout for him, and you listened. And therefore, that shows that you became subservient to him. Nichnalo. Right? The Taz is putting value on this. This isn't just, you're doing him a favor, right? Like, You're being polite, right? You're holding the door open for him, right? He asked you to do something, and you're doing it, which shows that you're now listening to him. You've changed the relationship, right? You're treating him at a higher stature than he was before. And my contention is that this is really what Ribbis Dvarim is about. That Ribbis Dvarim isn't just politeness. It's anything that has some sort of quantifiable value in terms of status, in terms of, you know, whatever, right? But something real with teeth. That's what's Asur Midin Ribbis Dvarim. And that's why I'm very hesitant about this sort of school of Achronic thought that takes this and expands it. So you look at Shulchan Aruch HaRav, which is unnumbered between 24 and 25, for no apparent reason, but okay. Shulchan Aruch HaRav says like this, and this is where it begins in the Acharim. He says, "Va'afilu l'daber dibur tov b'shvil alvo b'shvil arach hazman osur kagon l'haktim lo shalom im lo ragal mitchila l'haktim lo v'ein tzarech lomer l'kalzu b'fanav." So you can't say good morning, and for sure you can't praise him. O l'hodot, nor can you thank him, ulahachzik lo tova, right? Or nor can you, right, appreciate it, right? O levarchu b'fanav, or bless him, right? Tisku lemitzvos al shehivehu, o al shehirchiv lo zman, right? You can't thank him, you can't praise him, you can't appreciate it, anything. Right? The Shulchan Aruch Rav takes it to pshuto. Makdim lo shalom means you can't give him even the slightest thing you wouldn't have given him before, right? And therefore he says, you can't even say thank you, because you wouldn't have said thank you before, because he didn't lend you money. Now he lent you money, you're saying thank you. But look at 27. Skip to 27. Shlomo Zalman says, what are you talking about? He says, right, the Achronim derived, this is also thank you. And some people therefore say, they won't say thank you, they say tisko lemitzvah. So first of all, Shlomo Zalman says, that doesn't help you, because if you want to be very, very, if you want to be nitpicky, what's worse, todah or tisko lemitzvah? Yeah, well, that's what he says. Levine is that he lo yafahim osim, ki tisko lemitzvah hu mamish bracha. He said, look, todah, I wouldn't say as usher, tisko lemitzvah, you at least could construe it as tisko lemitzvah, right, what it actually means, right, like you're giving him a bracha. Right. But I think thank you, it can't be usher. Amira toda eino ela kiilu malve masen alova she kafui tova l'shum adam the afgam l'malve barur adarish chalil l'halvot lios kekover b'tovaso. He said, why are you saying thank you? Right? Not because you owe him this. No one thinks you owe him a thank you in like a monetary sense. It's because you don't want to look like someone who's an ingrate. What does the Shulchan Aruch HaRav mean? You can't appreciate it. Of course you appreciate it. He lent you $1 million. What are you talking about? You can't be maktim shalom, because that's a bracha. V'chein masha asur lomar lo hodieni shetorach avuro. I can't give him information that you know, takes my time up, right? K'mash kosev ataz shebazem shemetzav alav hu nichna gara tvei, or because it shows that I'm subservient. But saying thank you, Rosh Hashanah Zalman said, what are you talking about? That's just called being a decent human being. He lent you money. Say thank you, right? Now, admittedly, in 28, so here it gets complicated. Rosh Hashanah Zalman fundamentally agrees with what I just said, right? That Makdim Shalom doesn't mean what the Shulchan Aruch HaRav thinks it means, which is a thank you. It means something with a certain level of, right?
Kavod.
Yeah, of kavod. I show him kavod. I do him a favor. I go out of my way for him. That's what's usher. But to be polite, that's polite. It shows that I'm not kafui tova. In the Ha'ara, only in the Mehudara Chadasha, right, in 28, he wrote a letter to somebody. Mechtav l'chacham echad kasa rabbeinu zatzal shemiyad l'achar shepersem advarim b'yarchon moriyah noda lo mishulchan aruch harav anal, that after he first published the shuvah, someone told him that the shulchan aruch harav forbids it. Umarot shesmisvara v'lamrot shemisvara, that misses the lamed, lamrot shemisvara yanir lo shetzarach l'hodos l'malva, even though logically he would have thought that you can thank people, apopichin hosev miyad al gilin aryachon al shu choser mima shek Kosa b'nei halacha shulchan aruch harav ubikesh rabbeinu zatzal lahosif hadvarim kishehut pesu hadvarim mincha Shlomo Khan v'amatet will hear good with his star rabbeinu zatzal al zeh v'sofa mechtav kashvu tikveh v'takein v'ezuz Hashem et zeh. And Rishon Zalman said even though he thinks this is true logically, once he saw the Shulchan Aruch Harav, he backed down. Though if you ask his Talmidim, they say he didn't back down. So I don't know what the truth is, but at least Misvara, Rav Shlomo Zalman, right, agrees with what I just said. Now everyone will say, okay, Rav Shlomo Zalman, at least Misvara thought not like the Shulchan Aruch Harav. And what he actually said, Lalacha, I'm not sure.
But the
well, that's exactly Rav Shlomo Zalman's, right, that's Rav Shlomo Zalman's point, right, is that nowadays a good morning isn't, right, that's not what the Gemara meant by Maktim Lo Shalom, right, he doesn't have the Roman background, but he says, right, that Maktim Shalom must not mean good morning, thank you must not mean good morning.
It can't be like the Kabbalah, like if someone walks to shul and you give them your seat.
Right, so that would be Usher, right, anything which would be Kabbalah, right? Anything that would be like that would obviously be Usher, that, because that hasn't changed, right, but I think you're right, and I think that's what Rav Shlomo Zalman's getting at, right, even though he backtracks. Now, the person that is always quoted as paskening like Shulchan Aruch Harav is Rav Moshe Feinstein. Because Rav Moshe Feinstein, in 25, was asked, Imutarli tain todah b'tzvaroshim adfis l'mishel ve'elo kesef l'adbazet tzvaro. Can you say, put a, you know, thank you in the front of your sefer when someone lent you the money to publish the sefer? She says, "Near lofi niyadaiti shivloshem todak Moshe also lomer la malva vora also midin ribis dvarim also gam lichtov lahatpis." Said it's also to say, it's also to print. Avichol lichtov lashon hodashit barach minishamayim. What you can write is, God will bless him, right? Not I'm blessing him, but obviously God will bless him for enabling the publishing of Torah. Kizeh emet. Right, that's true. Sheit barach b'schut mitzvah tov gdolah, that he'll be blessed because of his big mitzvah. So everyone quotes and says, okay, Rav Shlomo Zalman thought that fundamentally you should be able to say thank you, and then maybe or maybe he did not retract his view. But Rav Moshe says it's usur. However, Rabbi Forrest, his Talmud in Chicago, said, it's not true. What are you talking about? Rav Moshe never said such a thing. Rav Moshe said, if someone lends me money, I can't publish a big thank you in the beginning of my sefer.
Which is worth money.
Which is worth money, right? People pay for that. But he said, from personal experience, he said, Rav Moshe also thought that you were allowed to say thank you. He just thought that publishing the guy's name with a thank you in the front of the book was a problem, which, mistaber, and that I can put my name behind that, I understand. So my tendency is to think that, like Rabbi Forrest quotes from Rav Moshe, that Rav Moshe never meant it. That Rav Moshe meant you can't, again, give something of value. You can't publish a thank you in the book, but a thank you verbally is just being polite. A good morning is just being polite. Rav Shlomo Zalman, what he thought, at least in his Havamina, and whatever he thought of Maskana, I'm not sure, again, I think goes in that direction. The Chazon Ish, for sure, did not go in this direction. You look at 29, in the Orchos Rabbeinu, it quotes the Chazon Ish. Well, I'll take that back. At least in one direction, didn't do it. When he would lend money, he would instruct people not to say thank you to him. Okay, I can buy that also. You want to be machmir and tell people not to thank you? Fine, fine. Chazon Ish thought it might really be also, but at least in one direction.
Lending money to publish a sefer is fine, obviously, not publishing a thank you.
Correct. That's what seems to be also. Not a gift, right? A gift, you obviously can. A donation, you could thank. But if he lent you the money, so you can't publish a thank you, right? What Moshe says, what you put is, God will bless him, right? Meaning you can acknowledge it, right? But you shouldn't, because that's already, that's not, there's more than a courtesy.
I'm not going to say it's a Mara sign, but there's many times when you're reading a thank you or acknowledgement, I have no idea what the terms.
Well, and that's exactly what, and that's Rabbi Forrest's point. That's what Moshe meant. Right, because what does it look like? It looks like I donated money to the book, right? I didn't donate money, I gave you a loan, I got it back, right? So that's the problem, right? Is that, right, there's something, right, of mamashas out of that. And if you look here at business halacha, number 32 I gave you, right, that they say, on the other hand, many poskim contend that Shulchan Aruch HaRav's restriction does not include expression of thanks that conform with customs of etiquette. Some people say that even the Shulchan Aruch HaRav never meant it. That maybe we, as you mentioned before, right, we don't relate to what happened in Roman times, but we also don't necessarily know what greetings were like in the time of Shulchan Aruch HaRav. So some poskim are so convinced, like I am, that a simple thank you must be mutter, that they think Shulchan Aruch HaRav must also mean, you know, like profuse thank you or something like that, but not something which is just etiquette, right? In our time, saying thank you or a similar expression of appreciation is a simple form of etiquette and is permitted. The restriction is limited to giving thanks and expressing appreciation in a manner that goes beyond the minimal standards of etiquette. This is especially true in our time when people say thank you for all sorts of minor things, and the thanks does not imply importance, like greeting the lender first, which Chazal ruled was prohibited. Right, and he said, for example, customers who make a small purchase will say thank you to the store owner, even though there's no more reason for the customer to thank the store owner than there is for the store owner to thank the customer, since both benefit from the transaction. Right, thank you just doesn't mean that, right? And that's, so a lot of modern poskim have gone in this direction. Now, if you want to be machmir, so what the Mishnah's Ribbitz says, and he quotes it here, is say thank you for your efforts. Right, you want to be really machmir. So say thank you for all your efforts that you've put in, because then you're making it clear it's not the money per se, but a lot goes into it, right? That isn't the money itself. So, you know, find another way of being polite, but don't not be polite, right? And there's this bizarre story that I didn't give you, of that Shmuel Shvadron used to say that when he was back in yeshiva in Slabodka, so whoever it was, is Rav Itzla of Petterburg, I think, used to lend money to the Talmidim if they needed it for the trip. So he once lent money to a Talmud, and the Talmud came back, he gave the money, and he yelled at him. And he said, what are you saying, right? What are you saying? Thank you, don't you know it's Usher? So the next time he borrowed money from him, he came back, and he gave it to him, and he didn't say thank you, and he yelled at him, why are you not saying thank you? He said, you told me it was Usher to say thank you. He said, no, you're supposed to want to say thank you, and then feel it's Usher. I saw in your eyes that you thought that you shouldn't feel a thank you. I'm like, I don't know what that means anymore, right? The point is, right, but that I think highlights the, why I just don't see how this happens. I don't understand this position, but it's out there. So I think the first half of the shir will leave, but the second half, to summarize, there is this voice from at least one understanding of Shulchan Aruch HaRav, that what Ribbitz Varm really does teach us, you can't give anything, even a minor thank you, a good morning, or anything like that. What I think is much more likely, and Rabbi Forrest attests, is what Rav Moshe actually meant. And Rav Shlomo Zalman thought is more likely, and some people think that's even what the Shulchan Aruch HaRav meant, which is no. Ribbitz Varm can't possibly forbid etiquette, right? What it means is you can't give somebody something of value. That means profuse thanks. That means publishing the guy's name in a book. That means, right, makdim lo shalom, not good morning, but going out of your way, right? That seems to be what's usher. Among the poskim who really take this very seriously, that it really means thank you, so then you find all types of solutions, right? Like those who say, okay, so don't thank him for his efforts. Or you find all these, and I gave you here, you can look at it yourself, different variations. Because some people say thank you is permitted, but yasher kochacha is usher because it's a bracha. Some say yasher kochacha is mutter, but todah is usher. Some say tiskul mitzvot is better because, you know, it's spiritual and therefore it's not monetary. Some say tiskul mitzvot is worse because it's a bracha. Right? I think this sort of my favorite is the poskim who think that yasher kochacha is usher because you understand what you're saying, but shkoyach is mutter because you clearly don't know what you're talking about. Right? Like, I've heard that too. Right? There are all these distinctions that come up, but I tend to think my intuition, following what I've heard from my forest in the name of Rav Moshe and what these poskim are saying, even in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, what Rav Shlomo Zalman say, is that if you understand the context, my best guess at what Ribbitz Dvarim was when I'm giving something of monetary value, but obviously Ribbitz Dvarim can't possibly forbid us from being polite when someone actually did you a favor. That, nidmeli, despite the fact that there are big voices that argue, and you can ask your own posing, I tend to think that there's a reason the majority of voices, majority of voices really do push back on that, because it just, right, there's something that strikes us wrong about saying the laws of Ribbitz should really forbid us from even showing basic gratitude and being decent human beings when someone did us a big favor. So that's at least what I think. Okay. Shkoyach.